I would say the principal takeaway is that we continue to live in a very in a world in which we face a very dynamic and evolving terrorism threat that is more global than it has ever been, and that therefore requires of us in the international community a new commitment to and increased levels of international cooperation to address it. I think we saw some pretty good signs in 2016, evidence of that increased cooperation, whether it be in the efforts of the 73-member Defeat ISIS Coalition, which is helping the Iraqi forces and partner forces in Syria bring to bear real military pressure upon ISIS core, but also in improved cooperation in limiting and trying to prevent terrorist travel, facilitation, financing. I think that, you know, the rise of ISIS, which is in the 2013-2014 period, we're still living through that phenomenon. We are, as an international community, still trying to improve our own processes directly related to that specific threat. I would say that's the dominant theme and the dominant observation. At the same time, we still face a resilient Al-Qaeda threat. That is has not gone away, that in certain parts of the world remains a very significant concern to U.S. security and to our partners' security. And then, of course, we still face the phenomenon of state sponsorship of terrorism, states that actually use terrorism as part of their foreign policy objectives, and Iran is the leading state sponsor of terrorism.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that there were some good signs. Can you just give us some examples of what those good signs are?
Well, I'll start with the Defeat ISIS Coalition, which has been built over the last couple of years, a coalition of countries that have come together to assist our partners in Iraq and our partners on the ground in Syria to deal with the threat of ISIS. And this coalition not only provides support militarily for that effort, but has been instrumental in generating increased support for humanitarian assistance and stabilization assistance to assist, in particular in Iraq, for those people who have been displaced as a result of the ISIS occupation of their territory and then having been pushed out of those areas. This humanitarian and stabilization support that's been really galvanized through that coalition has been instrumental in helping to repair people's lives in a very, very difficult situation. That's a specific example with the Defeat ISIS Coalition. I would say more broadly in the international community, there is an understanding, and this relates, of course, to the phenomenon we've seen over the last couple of years of directed and inspired attacks by groups like ISIS around the world, to include Europe, Southeast Asia, even in the United States. There have been attacks that people have attributed to or have themselves said are inspired by groups like ISIS. There's an understanding that this is a global threat, so therefore we need to be doing more to share information with one another, to increase the capabilities of organizations like Interpol or Europol, and there's a new commitment to that. So I would say those are two very, very good examples of enhanced international cooperation against the threat.
And, you know, as you work your way through those situations, looking at, you know, enhancing relationships with partners, but also looking at the evolution of organizations like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, you said that Al-Qaeda, in your main takeaways, is resilient. What signs are you seeing of that?
Well, I think that, you know, they have maintained. There was a time, if you think, JJ, back to a couple of years ago when there was a question, well, with the rise of ISIS, does that mean Al-Qaeda goes away? And here we are a couple of years later, and I think that the answer to that question is pretty firmly provided. They're not going away. They understand they're an organization that understands how to operate at a very local level, yet still ascribe to the global ambitions that go back to Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri himself. So this is an organization that does tailor itself to a local environment, and we see them in Syria, we see them in Yemen, of course, see them in places in North Africa and across the Sahel, and of course continued in the Afghanistan-Pakistan border area. So they are an adaptable organization that has not gone away. If anything, they're using this present moment to sort of rebuild. And this is something that many of us in the international and in the national security community are looking closely at.
Do you see any capability at this point for them to launch international attacks like what was launched in on 9/11. Do you see them with that capability at this point, or are they marching towards that? Where do you see them in terms of launch attack capabilities?
Well, I think the ambition for global attacks remains, and I think that's part of Al-Qaeda's objective. The work that's been done in the United States since 9/11 to strengthen homeland defenses, I think, is it's pretty clear that we believe that we can disrupt those kinds of sophisticated, complex attacks like the 9/11 attacks. But that doesn't mean that groups can't carry off, localized attacks in various parts of the world that do give a sense of relevancy. And this is what these groups do. They may have moved away from the sophisticated, complex attacks like we saw in 9/11, but they still have had strategic effect from the attacks they do conduct.
Justin Sibrell, the acting coordinator for counterterrorism at the State Department. J.J. Green, WTOP News.